From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you today? Hopefully everything is fine and you are still healthy from the COVID-19 or even other diseases. Today, I am Stephanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes and will bring you more information about Indonesia. And now we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo calls for greater synergy between police and Corruption Eradication Commission. Indonesia and Canada need global system to jointly face global challenges. Now, the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo urged the Indonesian National Police Attorney General's Office Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) and the government's internal monitoring agency to bolster synergy and cooperation, particularly in the wake of the current crisis. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, President Joko Widodo noted in his address while leading the virtual commemorative ceremony to observe the 74th anniversary of the National Police Day, Bayangkara Day, from the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, that he commend the ranks of the National Police, Attorney General's Office, Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK), and the government's Internal Oversight Institution to keep strengthening synergy and cooperation. The president also appealed to all agencies to help expedite the implementation of the COVID-19 handling program and supervise the utilization of its budget. In the commemoration of Canada Day on July 1st, the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Ottawa and the Embassy of Canada in Jakarta jointly organized an online discussion entitled MAPL, Maximizing and Amplifying Potential Live Event, featuring Abdul Kadir Jailani, Ambassador of Indonesia to Canada, and Cameron McKay, Ambassador to Canada to Indonesia, as speakers. In the discussion, Canadian Ambassador to Indonesia Cameron McKay said that Indonesia and Canada are two countries that have many similarities, such as geographical diversity, race, and linguistic diversity. According to Ambassador McKay, this is a great challenge for both countries, which must be handled by both governments of the two countries.
The big challenge that we face together now, we've grown up separately, but we have these common values. And now we're in a world where the old rules-based international order is under tremendous pressure. I think any analyst of global affairs would say there's clearly increasing tensions between the global superpowers. Canada and Indonesia both are large and powerful middle powers, but we're not superpowers. And we need a system, a global system, that will help us to survive and to thrive. So it's very much in our interest, more than ever, that we cooperate with respect to the international system we've built on diplomacy and trade, but also on these common challenges of climate change, protecting the oceans and the environment, and of course now the pandemic.
Meanwhile, Indonesian Ambassador to Canada Abdul Kadir Jailani said that Indonesia has a confidence that across the ocean, there is Canada, a close long-time friend who has been its partner in the past and present, and of course in the future. He added the two countries might face new challenges in the future, but the partnership between Indonesia and Canada would turn those challenges into opportunities. Hundreds of thousands of residents across 36 suburbs in Melbourne will be forced into lockdown to tackle Victoria's worsening coronavirus crisis. Nuka Kusumawati has the details.
From midnight, more than 300,000 residents will go into lockdown with Stage 3 restrictions coming into effect until at least July 29 across 10 postcodes in the city's north and northwest. Residents in the 10 restricted postcodes will not be allowed to leave their homes unless it is for the 4 reasons permitted under the Chief Health Officer's directives. From the start of the directions, people living in a restriction postcode are required to stay at home, except for the four reasons: shopping for necessary goods or services, care or compassionate reasons, exercise and work and study, and will not be permitted to leave home for the purposes of a holiday. On an interview with Nine News Channels Australia on Wednesday, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison thanked the people in Melbourne for their patience in handling COVID-19 outbreak.
Where outbreaks do occur, you need to move on them, as the Victorian government is, and they have our full support to that. We're putting significant resources in to assist them. Other states are helping them as well. For all of those living in those parts of Melbourne who are affected by these lockdowns, you're doing all other Australians a great service by patiently working through those. You're saving lives, you're saving livelihoods, and it's important that we get on top of this, and we're moving very quickly to do that, and we'll continue to do that to keep all Australians safe, but particularly also those who are living in those parts of Melbourne.
A complete statewide lockdown has not been ruled out for Victoria, with Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews revealing the town postcode restricted to the stay-at-home orders was just the first step into bringing the state's coronavirus surge under control. Businesses and facilities located inside this postcode will also once again face restriction, with cafes and restaurants only being able to open for takeaway and delivery. Support provided to businesses and families living inside the postcodes. Impacted businesses may be eligible for an initial $5,000 grant.
In terms of those lockdown suburbs, I again make the point, I know and understand that this will be deeply inconvenient, it'll be frustrating, it'll be very challenging. We will be there to support each and every business that's impacted, not just within the zone, but also, for instance, as I referred to yesterday, those tourism businesses where there will be bookings that will have to be cancelled because of these lockdowns.
Premier Andrews also said he has asked Prime Minister Scott Morrison to divert all international flights away from Melbourne for the next 2 weeks. As the state tackles its spikes in coronavirus cases, police will be actively enforcing the suburban lockdowns across the restriction postcode. The suburbs with the highest number of new cases were Broadmeadows, Faulkner and Alban Vale.
The government has extended the disbursement of electricity subsidy for PLN customers whose power consumption falls within the 450 volt ampere and 900 volt ampere categories until September 2020. In the wake of the pandemic, the government is eager to reduce the burden on customers from both the 450 volt ampere and 900 volt ampere categories. This was stated by Director General of Electricity of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Rida Mulyana, on Wednesday, escorted by Antaranus Agency. At least 24 million customers of the state-owned electricity company PT PLN are households falling into 450 volt ampere category and 7.3 million customers in the 900 volt ampere category. Initially, the electricity relief scheme was kicked off in April for a three-month period for two categories. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Russians have strongly supported constitutional reforms that could keep President Vladimir Putin in power until 2036, partial results indicate. As quoted by BBC.com, the Electoral Commission said that with about 87% of ballots counted, more than 77% of voters backed the measures. The reforms would reset President Putin's term limits to zero in 2024, allowing him to serve two more six-year terms. Opposition members have said he is trying to become president for life, a claim Putin denies. Top Kremlin critics Alexei Navalny dismissed the announced result as a big lie, which did not reflect real public opinion in the country. There is no independent scrutiny of the seven-day vote, and copies of the new constitution appeared in bookshops during the week. President Donald Trump, who has often pushed back against mask guidance from health officials, says he would wear one in a tight situation with people. As quoted by BBC.com, President Trump, who has avoided appearing in public with a mask, also maintained that face coverings do not need to become mandatory to curb COVID-19 spread. His remarks to Fox News came a day after a top Republican called on President Trump to wear a mask as an example. He spoke as the U.S. hit a new high of 52,000 new virus cases in one day. The U.S. now has nearly 2.7 million confirmed COVID-19 infection and more than 128,000 deaths, according to Johns Hopkins University, which is tracking the pandemic. Hong Kong police have made their first arrests under a new anti-protest law imposed by Beijing as crowds mark 23 years since the end of British rule. 10 people were held accused of violating the law, including a man with a pro-independence flag. About 360 others were detained at a banned rally, as quoted by BBC.com. The national security law targets secession, subversions, and terrorism, with punishments up to life imprisonment. Activists said it erodes freedoms, but China has dismissed the criticism. Hong Kong's sovereignty was handed back to China by Britain in 1997, and certain rights were supposed to be guaranteed for at least 50 years under the One Country, Two System agreement. The UK has now said up to 3 million Hong Kong residents will be offered the chance to settle in the UK and ultimately apply for citizenship. New Zealand's Health Minister David Clark has resigned after criticism of the government's response to coronavirus and his own breaches of lockdown rules. As quoted by BBC.com, David Clark had already been demoted after breaking rules to take his family to the beach. He said continuing in his role was distracting from the government's overall response to the pandemic. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern confirms on Thursday that she had accepted his resignation. New Zealand has been hailed as a success story when it comes to tackling the coronavirus. The country has recorded 1,528 confirmed or probable coronavirus cases, and 22 people have died. Last month, all COVID-19 restrictions were lifted and the nation was declared virus-free. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
And listener, here's today's commentary entitled, Beware New Virus Threat Amid COVID-19 Pandemic. COVID-19 is still unfinished, but the world is surprised by the new type of swine flu with the code G4EAH1N1. In a report by Chinese researchers, this virus is potentially another pandemic because it is easy to be transmitted among animals and even to humans. They reported that G4 virus had been found since long, but the trend has spiked since 2016, mainly in areas with many pig farms across 10 provinces in China. Concern that it will increase a new threat has made people of the world, including Indonesia, be extra cautious. A researcher from Nottingham University, Professor Kin Cho Chang, reminded the world not to be careless or to ignore the G4. In a report from Chinese researchers, based on some experiments done on ferret, Mustela putorius furo, or any other mammals that are generally used in flu research, the results shows that G4 virus is very contagious. Besides, it can replicate on human cells and cause worse symptoms on ferrets compared to other viruses. Meanwhile, Farming and Animal Health Director General of Indonesian Agriculture Ministry, Iketut Diarmite, admitted that until now, there is no report on G4 swine flu cases in Indonesia. He ensured that his site will improve alertness to reduce potential of the virus to enter and spread in Indonesia. He also mentioned that the systematic monitoring against the flu virus is still necessary as a key warning of pandemic emergence. Despite there has not been any human casualty due to the G4 swine flu, the death threat had forced all nations' authority to keep carefully and super tightly all health measures to prevent the swine flu from spreading not only among animals but also humans. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is our regular program today in history. We start from an event on July 2, 1900, when the first flight of the Zeppelin aircraft was over Lake Constance, Germany. Zeppelin was a giant seeker-shaped aircraft that could fly directionally because it had an engine and a steering wheel. The aircraft was named in accordance with its designer, Ferdinand Adolf Heinrich August von Zeppelin, an aeronautics expert from Germany, who successfully flew it for the first time on July 2, 1900. The defeat of Germany in the First World War temporarily stopped Zeppelin's business, but under the guidance of Hugo Enkener, Ferdinand von Zeppelin's successor, civilian Zeppelin became popular in 1920s. Zeppelin reached its heyday in the 1930s. Next event is that in 1937, Amelia Earhart and her navigators, Fred Noonan, got lost in the Pacific Ocean. Amelia Mary Earhart was the first woman to receive the Distinguished Flying Cross. She got the award because she was the first woman to fly alone across the Atlantic Ocean. She also made many other records, wrote the most sold book about her flying experience, and had a major role in the establishment of 1909, the Women's Pilot Organization. Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan disappeared in the Pacific Ocean near Howland Island in a bid to take a flight around the world on July 2, 1937. The mystery of Earhart's disappearance has not been revealed until today. Last event is that in 1976, North and South Vietnam started reuniting. The Socialist Republic of Vietnam, one of Indonesia's neighbors in Southeast Asia, was divided into two countries in the past. For around 20 years, North and South Vietnam have been at war. But on July 2, 1976, the two countries finally united. At that time, it was officially broadcasted in Hanoi that the leaders of North and South Vietnam had conducted the government's consolidation. In addition, it was also determined that the flag, national anthem, and national symbol to be adopted as the property of North Vietnam. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nukuk Sumawati.
Kawan baru, kau mempesonaku. Tingkahmu yang lucu, gayamu yang ceria, cara berjalanmu dan kehadiranmu itu menggemaskan, takut membuat malu. Thank you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. The next one, the My Indonesia for today, will be talking about the 2020 World Day to combat desertification and drought. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Food, Feed, Fiber, 2020 World Day to Combat Desertification and Drought. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry held a World Day to Combat Desertification and Drought, WDCD, Commemoration Day in 2020 with a series of events, namely a web seminar or webinar, followed by a talk show that presented practitioners to share experience and best practices that have been implemented. The theme of World Day to Combat Desertification and Drought, WDCD 2020 commemoration, is Food, Feed, Fiber. The theme of the WDCD 2020 is intended as an educational effort to the world community to change the way of exploitative production and consumption toward a pattern that is more environmentally friendly and sustainable. This year's commemoration is focused on effort to change public attitudes and behavior that are expected to be a key driver in preventing land degradation. Deputy Minister of Environment and Forestry Alwe Dohong, while reading the minister's message at the opening of series of WDCD commemoration events in 2020 in Jakarta recently, said, "As the population increased and urban areas getting more developed, demand and pressure on the land also more increase. For this reason, the government is paying serious attention to the issue of forest and land degradation by reducing the rate of deforestation and increasing forest and land recovery programs. The acceleration of rehabilitation and reclamation of land and forest is one of the development priorities." Deputy Minister Alwe Dohong also said that the integration of land and forest management systems oriented to sustainability through agroforestry patterns. It is impossible to address the needs of food, feed and fiber or clothing without having sacrificed the interests of environmental protection. Furthermore, Alwe Dohong emphasized that this is the important role of academicians, environmentalists, who are members of the Indonesian Soil Conservation Society, MKTI, Watershed Forum, and NGOs spread throughout Indonesia. The local wisdom of the community also needs to be explored and developed as technological asset for agroforestry and conservation. Therefore, Alwe Dohong invites all parties to set an example in developing a lifestyle that is environmentally friendly and sustainable in consuming food, providing feed and fulfilling fiber for clothing, so as to ensure the survival of the community and generations to come. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
colors growing side by side among the sharpest stars. We are breathing, we are living like the sunshine. Above the clouds,
we are seeds of love.
Paint the night with stars.
Thank you very much if you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia. More information about Indonesia is coming up shortly, and now it will be about tourism, more precisely, a tourism village called Cholol. More about it coming up shortly.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Cholol Tourism Village in East Nusa Tenggara. Cholol Village, which is located at East Poco Ranaka District, East Manggarai Region C, East Nusa Tenggara Province, has been known as a region of coffee producer since long time ago. Now the village is determined as the coffee-based tourism village. Its coffee is known as Cholol Coffee. Cholol Coffee is known and famous in the world. The coffee has received awards and victory in various coffee festivals in the national level. It began from a local farmer planted coffee seed at Cholol Village, which was carried out by the Dutch people. Starting from Cholol, the coffee seed was spread out to all farmers in Manggarai Raya. Currently, Cholol coffee has been exported to the United States and European countries. Cholol Village is located at the valley which has cool air and fertile soil to be planted various kinds of horticultural plants. Touring to the village, you can enjoy the freshness of its air and also beautiful of the village. Because it is the coffee-based tourism village, you certainly can enjoy the uniqueness of Cholo coffee taste. You can do agribusiness tour and also participating in harvest of coffee along with the farmers. Coffee harvest season in Manggarai Raya is usually in June until August. More interestingly, when touring to Cholo village, you can also watch and feel the local traditions. Residents in East Manggarai has Inung Kopi Pai tradition, means drink bitter coffee. So, if you visit people's houses, they will serve bitter coffee. Now the farmers at Cholo village and other villages in Manggarai Raya have coffee season. We suggest you to come to the village during coffee season to feel the sensation of Inung Kopi Pai tradition. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Listener, we still got much more from Indonesia. Now, it's about an innovation or invention by Indonesian scientists and also academicians. In the miscellany, we'll be talking about CEPAT, the COVID-19 antigen detection device. Stay tuned with us.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on CEPAD, COVID-19 antigen detection device. Pajajaran University in West Java keeps developing rapid test device, which is named CEPAD Detection or Rapid Test 2.0. Secretary of the Center for Molecular Biotechnology and Bioinformatics Research of Pajajaran University, Muhammad Yusuf, said that the difference between CEPAD detection and rapid test is macule, which is detected. Rapid test COVID-19 in general detects antibody, while CEPAD detection detects antigen. CEPAD detection device detects virus faster because it does no need to wait for the form of antibody when the body is infected by the virus. Different from other diagnostic devices of COVID-19, which target examination of antibodies from blood samples, CEPAD test device is able to detect the existence of SARS-CoV-2, the virus which causes COVID-19 disease, from the results of swab tests of the patients. The first version of CEPAD prototype is able to detect the existence of the virus in a sample of swab maximally 20 minutes by sewing two red lines in the test device. Key technology of the detection device is biosensor, which detects SARS-CoV-2 protein sample. The biosensor is printed on microcellulose paper, the paper with specific pore size. Swab sample of the patient is dropped on the rapid test device. The biosensors in the rapid test are antigen antibodies produced from chickens that are injected with viral antigen proteins. The biosensor will detect the reaction of antigen antibodies to the virus protein captured by the device, with the result of displaying two red lines. Muhammad Yusuf also said that the antigen antibodies are relatively accurate to be used as a component of COVID-19 rapid tests. All tests carried out on swab samples with positive results through the PCR test produce a reading of two red lines on the CEPAD rapid test tool, which indicates the presence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which is detected. The CEPAD detection device is in the process of testing a prototype. Co-founder of PT Pakar Biomedica Indonesia and head of the Infection Studies Center at the Faculty of Medicine, Pajajaran University, Bhakti Ali Shahbana said that the company has prepared a production line for antigen detection research results. According to the estimation, the selling price of the CFAT antigen detection device is estimated to be around 100,000 rupiah per unit, cheaper than the rapid test equipment currently circulating in the market, where the majority of raw materials still rely on imports. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Well then, listener, next we will play a song by Titik Sandora featuring Muhsin Alatas entitled Hatiku Hatimu, and we'll still have an information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a song by Titik Sandora featuring Mohsin Alatas titled Hatimu Hatiku. Listener, after releasing her first song titled Si Boncel, Titik Sandora began to be known in Indonesia, especially among music lovers. Titik Sandora was increasingly known in Indonesian music industry through her duet songs with Mohsin Alatas, her husband. Their most famous duet songs titled Halo Sayang, Dunia Belum Kiamat, Pertemuan Adam dan Hawa, Jangan Marah, and Hatimu Hatiku. Especially the song Hatimu Hatiku was one of their legendary duet hits. The song was composed by Is Haryanto and Hasan and tells about a feeling of a couple lover. Listener, let's listen to the song Hatimu Hatiku by Titik Sandora and Mohsin Alatas. Enjoy the song.
Indonesia.
Kemanakah sayang tujuan kita pergi bergembira? malam ini bergembira, malam ini. Bagaimana kalau kita ke Binaria, banyak pengunjungnya melantai di sana. Bersama kita ke Binaria bergembira, malam ini bergembira, malam ini. Bagaimana kalau kita ke Binaria, banyak pengunjungnya melantai di sana.
Dengan hati rela ku pergi bersama, tapi jangan lupa kembali segera.
Marilah bersama kita ke Binaria bergembira, malam ini bergembira, malam ini.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's been nice to be accompanying you with more information coming from our country. Please do not hesitate, never hesitate to tell us what you feel, what you think, and probably if you get any suggestion to us, well, you can send it to our email, voi@voanews.id, and also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, I'm Stefan as well, and all the crews today are saying thank you very much, but do not go anywhere, because we still have much more coming from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.